Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. Today we're going to be talking about how do you mentor. Again, this content is content that we use during a workshop. This is supplementary to if you've attended a workshop, and it's standalone material, but we get this question a lot, what does it take to be a mentor? And what we kind of have learned to answer is that really the easier question might be what it doesn't take. So it doesn't take you to be a professional. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take any extraordinary skills, talents, qualifications. And we've actually said that if you have just an hour a week, you can have a meaningful relationship with a mentee. Would you say that's true, Chris?
True. And here's an example. Have a conversation for 1 hour with someone and talk about nothing but surface stuff.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's not bad occasionally, but you leave there and you go, okay, I could have lived without that. That has no bearing. But take an hour and be very intentional in the questions you ask, listening well. You can leave after 1 hour and learn a lot about a person and begin to develop that relationship. So it doesn't have to take a lot of time. What I have discovered, the closer or the deeper the relationship goes in mentoring for me, the more time we do want to spend together.
Right.
But it doesn't have to take a lot of time.
No. So, and here's the great thing. We can teach you through these podcasts, through attending a workshop. We can teach you how to ask good questions and to listen effectively, to speak truthfully. And as a result, when you do those things, we're empowering you as a potential new mentor to give your life away, to help others live to their full potential. And it doesn't require a whole lot from you. So we're going to jump in today about how do you mentor? We're going to talk about some specifics. You will not walk away as a professional mentor after this, but we're going to give you some helpful tools and tips.
I want to make two statements.
Yes, do it.
Each mentoring relationship will look different because people are different.
Yep.
And then you will learn as the mentor each time you mentor someone. So how do you mentor? Start
by
mentoring.
Doing it. Yeah, that's a good
You'll
thing.
Learn more every time.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we have always said is that our first priority is to establish God's word as the authority. If I show up to a meeting with someone, if I'm showing up and a girl and I are going to do errands and I've been pouring my life into her, if she only hears my perspective or I give her my thoughts, my opinions, I've established myself as the authority in her life. And what I want to do is ask meaningful questions, position her so she knows, hey, I know Christina won't have the answer. She maybe can guide me. She's going to guide me to God's word. She'll help me discover, but she is not the authority in my life.
We believe that the Bible is true and it's holistic and it is eternal.
It's practical.
It's practical. Yeah. Chris Elledge's, that's who I am. Mm-hmm. My opinions, my perspectives are temporal. They just are.
Mm-hmm. So, and not always right.
Not always right.
Shocking, isn't it?
I know it is. Can you believe that? Oh. I want to say this, though.
Okay.
There's a quote out of a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
Yeah, I'll put that in our notes so you can refer
Pete,
to that book.
Scazzaro.
Easy for you to say.
Never mind on his last name.
Pete Scazzaro,
I believe it is.
I think you have to say it with the name.
But it's an excellent book I read several years ago, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. But check out this quote. Getting to your core requires following God into the unknown, into a relationship with Him that turns your present spirituality upside down. That resonates with me. Mm. I think I know and understand God, and then I realize I don't. When I have a conversation that's deliberate, that's intentional with another man, I want the two of us to be able to have a better understanding of God over time. It may not happen in that one conversation, but over time.
Yeah,
so I will, Christina,
yeah.
I have an education, I have experiences, I have talents and abilities, but I will come to an end of myself at some point. Mm-hmm. So if all I have is myself, which is good, we're supposed to use our lives for others. But at some point, Chris Elledge comes to it like a brick wall, and I have nothing more to give. You offer someone a true relationship with God, it goes on and on and on.
We're actually going to, this is going to be a part one of two. Part one, we're going to talk about how do you begin the adventure with somebody. And then part two, we're going to talk about some frequently asked questions, some practical tips. So as we jump into beginning the adventure, this sounds so simple, but the first thing we would recommend if you want to begin to mentor is get some basic training. Find out what it means to mentor somebody, to jump into a relationship with them. Our podcast, obviously, we will shamelessly plug it as a great resource for training, but there's mentoring workshops online. There's resources out there. Just get some basic training. Yeah, anything else on that?
We offer some in-person workshops as well.
Right.
That's part of what we do.
I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, in general. So get some basic training. If I need to know how to plant a garden, we want to redo some of our yard landscape-wise. And so I don't know much about that. So guess what I will do? Go on the internet, talk with you, talk with others who have done it. Walk up to someone's yard in my neighborhood and say, I like what you've done there. Can you tell me what you did? Mm-hmm. What plants did you use? It sounds simple. Give us some basic training.
Yeah. We also say that if you want to begin the mentoring adventure with somebody, is just seek the advice or gather other resources from other mentors, people who are currently mentoring. Boy, sharing best practices, sharing what other mentors have learned is a great resource, as I do that all the time. Yeah. Finding out what other people are doing.
We are finishing up doing mentor training for a local business. And two of the, a man and a woman in our class basically said recently, hey, have you ever thought about cross mentoring? Mm-hmm. We said, what are you talking about? They said, well, you're teaching us these basic skills, tools, things like that, giving us experiences you've had so we can be effective mentors. What if, because we work in the same area, what if we practice with each other? We learn from each other.
We cross mentors mentoring one another. Yeah, it's brilliant.
I love that idea. And so we're calling it cross mentoring. I think of like CrossFit.
Yeah.
It's you go there and you learn from other people. You exercise together. Mm-hmm. You train together. You challenge one another. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
If you know of a mentor, they may not, maybe they're not supposed to mentor you, but you could actually ask them, would you teach me some of your skills you've learned?
We also say this again, find a mentee. That sometimes is a little bit easier than it sounds, but over the years, what we've learned is find somebody who's a good fit for you. There could possibly be somebody already in your life right now that comes to mind when you're thinking about, okay, who is it in my life right now who is highlighted to me? Look for natural connections too within your family, your faith community, neighbors, workplace, maybe you're in a pickleball club, whatever. Who's already in you that you already have good connection with?
Who's already in your life?
Right. Who's already in your life that you already have a good connection with? And then along with that, do you have chemistry with this person? I've been in mentoring relationships that I tried to make it work. It just wasn't a good fit. And so I think it's important, not that you're two peas in a pod, but that there is actually some chemistry between a mentor and a mentee. You smirked when I said two peas.
Two peas in a pod. That could be from our generation.
Right.
I've added one. Oh, did you finish that?
I
have not. Go ahead.
No, and then initiate a conversation about mentoring and extend an invitation. So I've done this numerous times where I've noticed a young woman who comes across as a strong leader, and I've just watched maybe from afar, and then I invite her out for coffee, and I say, hey, who is pouring into you? And if she says, well, I've got some people, then I affirm that. And if she says, well, really nobody, then I extend an invitation. Would you consider, don't give me an answer today, but would you consider us meeting on a regular basis for a mentoring relationship? And then initiate that conversation.
I've added one to this list.
Yeah.
Ask what needs and wants there are for that person.
Right.
So you're going to be, so again, this is beginning the adventure with someone. You have the invitation. You sit down together, have a coffee, begin talking, find out about one another's stories, at least a little bit in the beginning. And you ask, hey, what are some needs and wants you have in this relationship?
Right.
It can be something really deep like, I want to better understand the family dynamic I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
It was complicated. Could you process it with me?
Yeah.
And it could be something I have a need, or I'm sorry, a want. Could we spend the day together? Could you let me see what your life is like?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to a movie. What do you want? What do you need? They're both important.
Right. And then just have a first meeting. And in that first meeting is where you get to, as the mentor, lead out by setting the stage. So what does that look like? Create an atmosphere that's comfortable. Clearly define, like, okay, when we're together, here's some core values for me. This is how I always start. So I let the mentee, I let her know what we say stays right here. You have my confidence that I won't talk outside of you, what we're talking about. What we talk about remains private. Whatever the guidelines are for you, you know, as a mentor, spill those out and ask her or him, your mentee, what are the guidelines you wish to see? And the first meeting is that place to get those things ironed out.
I know we're talking about a first meeting, but you talk about the importance of confidentiality, mm-hmm. that it is a must, and it is because it builds trust.
Right.
What I've discovered over time as the relationship develops, I sometimes remind the men in front of me because they open up and share such private things. I remind them, remember what we said in the beginning?
Yeah.
Your needs and wants are important to me, but confidentiality, when you share these things with me, they stay with me. Mm-hmm. I've said that a few times just as a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't, wait a minute, can I really trust him with this?
Right.
Remember what he said?
Right.
And he hasn't proven me wrong yet.
Yeah.
All right. So sometimes I just repeat that over time.
So then you continue to meet. How often do you meet is a frequently asked question. Well, that just depends on you as a team between the mentor and mentee. I've had relationships where we met once a week. Sometimes it's a little bit more loose, depending on work schedules, but you all determine how often you're going to meet. Again, the goal is not to have meetings. The goal is to build a relationship. And so you guys decide what that looks like. And then in that, trust is really the goal here. You want to build trust, and that's earned. So that may take some time to develop, so just be patient. But over time, you'll find that that trust between mentor-mentee really builds up.
Another point is be personal.
Yeah.
Be a real person. Don't just give facts and figures and talk about who they are, but open up yourself. The mentor has to begin with being personal about themselves because you're the one who's initiating this.
Right.
And intentional. And so you want to build this relationship. Give it a strong foundation. So let them know who you are in some personal ways.
Right. So be personal, but don't make it all about you, right?
Okay.
Be authentic. Talk about things, you know, well, that reminds me one time, blah, 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 blah. Don't hijack conversations, but be real, be personal, share things about yourself, but don't make it all about you.
Have you ever done that?
I'm just saying sometimes that can happen.
It could happen because we like talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to be personal. But that you would understand, I would understand as well as a mentor. Okay, I've crossed that line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making this about myself now.
Because remember what we said in previous podcasts, conversations are like tennis matches. And if you're just holding the ball and never serving, just something to be aware of. So accountability is also necessary for a healthy, growing relationship. But what we're not saying, accountability is not me showing up to prove to my mentor, well, I did this, I did this, I did this, and you tick these boxes. But accountability is showing up. I'm thinking sometimes where I have met with specifically a mentor for a season because I needed some help in a certain area, and then she's asked some things of me. If I don't show up having those done, I'm not committed to my own growth. I'm not honoring her time. Be accountable to one another. Yeah.
Anything? Be accountable with grace.
Right.
Because sometimes I haven't followed through. I haven't done my homework, if you want to call it homework, and say, okay, what was my reason? It was a hard week.
Yeah.
I wasn't motivated. I had a guy tell me one time, we have a good relationship at this point through mentoring, and I'm talking, and he just seemed deflated, not interested. And I said, hey, are you okay today? He goes, Chris, I'm sorry. I'm just not into this right now.
Mm.
Meaning not the mentoring per se.
Right. Or not you.
At that moment, I'm just, my mind is in other places. I said, you know what? I could have been offended.
Yeah.
And said, well, I've taken my time. Or I go, wait a minute. That's real life.
Right.
So I could say, you know what? Don't stress about it.
Yeah.
It's good to see you again. Let's reschedule.
Yeah.
And go forward.
Right.
And so being honest about things like that is so important. And I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but shame and guilt. So we're talking about accountability.
Right.
Let's say I don't measure up.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it that way.
Right.
Check off the boxes. We're not talking about that. But let's say I don't measure up on, I didn't do my homework. I didn't follow through on anything. Hold me accountable, but don't put shame and guilt on me.
Right.
And sometimes that can happen with a tone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, you didn't do that?
Well, that's too bad.
Gosh, can't move forward.
No, I mean, we're being goofy, guys. But,
right.
Man, you want this relationship to grow and flourish. And so if shame and guilt are allowed in a relationship,
right,
it will hinder those greatly.
You know, I do want to inject something here that sometimes when, let's just say, a mentee is consistently not coming to the table, so to speak, they're not being accountable. They've dropped meetings with you or called and canceled at the last minute, or, hey, let's work on your personal budget, and they forgot, and then the next week they forget. There is a time and place to hold them accountable and say, hey, we both agreed that this was going to be a give and take. It doesn't seem like this is really a good fit for you. I've had those conversations. They're a little bit awkward, but I've had to say, gosh, I don't think this is really the right time for you to be in a mentoring relationship. There's no shame. There's no guilt. But let's just stop meeting for a season. And when you're ready, hey, I'm here. I think that's a good thing to point out.
I was holding a young man accountable recently, and because he didn't seem interested, uh-huh, he wasn't following through on really anything. And frankly, guys, we're human. I got irritated. And
sure.
I thought, okay, I'm going to meet with him and tell him this probably is not going to work. But wait a minute. Let me back up. Began to ask good questions. Mm. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I discovered? He was really struggling with some personal things internally.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea about.
Wow.
And that was so him seemed disinterested.
It was really a symptom of something else.
It was. And so guess what? We walked through some of that. I said, okay, then let's address that.
Mm-hmm.
Let help me understand. And it's been better than it's ever been with him.
That's awesome. Well, which leads us to the next step is establishing a commitment to another. We talked about that, but I always like to say, okay, here's the deal. Forever long we're going to meet, I am committed to you. If you need a 2 a.m. phone call, I'm here. There's a movie you always refer to us. What is it called?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's a Clint Eastwood movie,
okay.
I believe from the 60s.
Yeah, never saw the movie, but that's the theme of what we say. If I'm going to be involved in a person's life, then I'm involved with them in the good, the bad, and the ugly, because I want them to be with me through my good, my bad, my ugly. So and just establishing a commitment.
The reality is, say you meet someone and they say, hey, look, I've got a lot of bad, a lot of ugly in my life. Can you handle that? That may, let me think. I've had a guy tell me that before.
Next.
Can you handle it?
Yeah.
But I knew it was right.
Yeah.
And guess what I discovered with him?
Tell me.
There was a lot of good, a lot of bad, and a lot of ugly.
Yeah.
And it was a privilege to walk through that with him, and really painful sometimes, and frustrating. But if I walk away from someone, if I only stay with someone and mentor them while things are good and fun and enjoyable.
It's surface.
And I'm telling them, you're only valuable to me if things are on the good side.
Yeah.
So
let's close this out. I always try to, whether I've done errands with a mentee or we've gone to a movie or we've had a long, in-depth conversation about some difficult things, I always end with an affirmation. When they leave my presence, I want them to feel seen and loved and heard. And just affirming them is a great way to do that. I just think that's a really good icing on the cake, so to speak, when I'm leaving my mentee. You?
I think I thank them for being so honest with me and for giving me the time.
Yeah. So today, how do you mentor? We hope that we've given you some really good things to consider. We are going to do a part two with some frequently asked questions and just some practical tips. So be looking for that. If you like what you're hearing, then like us, subscribe to the podcast, share it with friends, other people who are in the field that you feel could benefit. And we do ask you that if this content is helpful and you want to jump on board, so to speak, and help us continue to produce content that helps people give their lives away through one-on-one mentoring, then you can have an opportunity to donate towards the production of the podcast. Just go to FahrenheitMentoring.org. There's a podcast tab. Click on that. There's a space there for you to donate. So as always, Chris and Christina, thank you for listening.